Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where a big Friday night crowd, many of them being Storm fans, begin to file out. What a game we saw here tonight. Let's look at your scoring summary from this contest. It began late in the first with just 2 minutes 8 seconds remaining in the opening frame. Xander Vecchia would score his 10th of the season from Gavin Grunsner, and it was 1-0 Guelph. In the second, early, 4:14 in, Jet Luchenko with his 16th of the season from Kitchener native Braden Bowman and Rowan Topp. It was 2-0 Guelph, and that's the way the second period would come to an end. We all know how difficult it is in this league to come from behind after 40 minutes, but the Rangers chipped away. They were led by Philip Machar, who had a burr under his saddle tonight, to be sure. Machar scored his 16th of the season from Trent Swick at 4:07 of the third. And then, with the Rangers' net empty and 1:07 remaining, Kitchener had a faceoff in the Guelph zone. Eventually, the puck would find its way to the net front, where both Trent Swick and Matt Sopp proved too much to handle for the Storm defense, and Sopp would whack home his 29th of the season, Swick drawing the primary assist, Carson Rakoff the secondary assist. The goal coming with 41 seconds left, and it forced overtime here at the Memorial Auditorium. And then in overtime, a great drive off his off wing by Matt Sopp, drawing a penalty. In fact, it was called a penalty shot, and I think rightly so. And with that penalty shot, Matt Sopp would deposit his second goal of the game and 30th of the season. It came 1:53 into OT, and the Kitchener Rangers, if you'll pardon the pun, storm all the way back against Guelph to win it 3-2 and end a five-game losing skid. Kitchener goes 0-for-5 on the Channers power play. The Storm go 0-for-3, and Guelph outshoots the Rangers 25-23. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here at the Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers end a five-game skid in dramatic fashion. Matt Sopp on an overtime penalty shot. Tell me you had that one on your bingo card. And it's his 30th of the season as the Rangers win it by a score of 3-2. Let's take a quick look at our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard on a busy night in the Ontario Hockey League. The Oshawa Generals win in Kingston 5-3, the Gens over the Fronts tonight. The battle for first place in the East is coming into the late stages of the third period in Brantford, and it's the Bulldogs now with a 4-2 lead. They had trailed 2-0 in this game. It was 3-2 at last check. Now 4-2 for the Bulldogs with under 7 minutes to play at the Civic Center in Brantford. In Flint, it's gone final. The Barrie Colts double the Firebirds by a score of 4-2. In London, the Knights pick up a 5-3 win over the Erie Otters. That's the team the Rangers will face tomorrow. They're headed to overtime at Progressive Auto Sales Arena in Sarnia. The Sting and 67s tied 3-3. And the Sioux Greyhounds led early, but they fell late. It's Mississauga with a come-from-behind 6-3 win up in the Sioux tonight as the Steelheads steal one at GFL Memorial Gardens, if you will. That's a look at our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. You can check out their full list of services at leiboldelectric.com. As I mentioned earlier, the Rangers are headed to Erie for a date with the Otters. We're going to get on the bus and head out tonight, make our trip across the border into Pennsylvania. James Sebastian Scott is standing by to take your phone calls on Rangers Talk as we wrap things up here at the Memorial Auditorium. And we're going to send things down to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with head coach Juuse Hokeson. Coach, how's it feel to get a win under your belt, especially an important win against Guelph?
Well, it's a big win for us, of course. We got the guys back. Still, I thought we came out good. First period, like 5 minutes, the power play. Then we started a little bit. We gave mistakes. Like, we overplayed the puck, a little stupid turnovers. First two periods, we weren't shooting the puck. Almost on the rushes, trying a little bit too fancy stuff, too hard plays. Missing, and then when we had chances, and we actually had great super chances, but we were missing the net. And but we simplified the game in the third and started getting pucks in the net. And I think that was the big key for us. And the team showed big from getting back from 2-0 into 2-2 and then winning overtime. That was a big thing for showed our character of the team.
I know you don't want to give away your secrets, but was there anything specifically said or shown or done between the second and the second intermission to the club to have them go out and play with such urgency in the third?
No, nothing special. Just we had to simplify and just first of all get more drive to the net, get pucks to the net, just basic, like, because we weren't shooting enough. That's the thing. We're trying to play the puck to the empty net, and we had super chances. Like, we had a lot. We had breakaways. We had but we just couldn't finish. And but good thing. Third period, we jumped up our game, and I thought we could have even scored a few more today.
I don't really like to ask about individual players, but the play of Max Giacolo, he's bringing a physical presence. That must please you to see that coming out of him. He's a young player.
Well, yeah, that's what we need, and we knew he can do that. Like, still, he's coming, like, the physical side, the skating-wise, just from coming from that level where he played, it's so much slower, the game. So adjustment and just getting to play in the major junior level. But I think he's getting better, and we knew that he has the physical side. That's why we wanted him here, and he knows what he is. And it's really good to see, like, that kind of... He had good hits, and he played a solid game.
Quick turnaround for tomorrow's game. Congratulations on the win tonight, and we'll see you in Erie tomorrow.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. UC Ahokas with his post-game thoughts. He's always going to find a few things to work on, and they'll work on those before tomorrow. But right now, you celebrate a 3-2 come-from-behind overtime victory over your divisional rivals from Guelph. Your post-game show brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
Once the East Avenue Blues step off the ice, it's time to break down the game. This is City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here at the Memorial Auditorium, the Rangers win it 3-2 in overtime, and yeah, that looks like the overtime hero with Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm downstairs with tonight's first star and hero. There's five or six little boys here. I should let them ask the questions because they're saying that was nasty. Mike and I had you going forehand, backhand. You went forehand, backhand, back to forehand. Yeah. What goes through your mind on a breakaway, like on a penalty shot like that?
Yeah, I mean, I practiced that one a lot. I mean, lucky for me, I got goalies that like to take some shootout moves and practice a lot. So play a lot of shootout. And, you know, I'm just looking if he's in or out of his net and just try to make a move. Got lucky, so...
On the game-tying goal, Swick's in the blue paint, you're in the blue paint, and you stuck with the puck. Slavik made the initial save, and you hung in there. We've talked about this on the air time and time again, paying the price in the blue paint. How difficult is that, Matthew? Explain that to the fans. You take a beating to score a goal like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was for sure taking a beating. I'm not the strongest guy ever, so I was definitely taking some abuse down there, but I knew that was big, so I used all my power I had, basically, to get that one in.
What does a win after... You know, five losses. What does this mean for the hockey club, and how does it set you up for tomorrow's game?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, but I mean, that's our standard around here. I mean, you know, we're a winning hockey team, and I think that's just big for us to go into tomorrow, but we forget about this one quick, and we got a whole another team in Erie. They're a good team, so we'll have another battle.
What's your secret to recovering so quickly from whatever ailed you on Tuesday night?
My mom and dad, basically. My caretakers. That's it.
Congratulations on a great game. We'll see you in Erie tomorrow.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. My caretakers, mom and dad, made sure I was ready to play tonight. I'll say again, if we do not hear from Uncle Rob during our post-game call-in portion, Rangers talk, I just kick him out of the family. That good-for-nothing Uncle Rob. Matt Sopp, the overtime hero for the Kitchener Rangers tonight, and the late game hero. He tied it with less than a minute to play. He won it on an overtime penalty shot. What a finish to this game tonight. What a finish to the five-game losing streak. Post-game coverage brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium as the Rangers end a five-game losing skid in dramatic fashion. Let's take a look at your three stars from this game. Your three stars brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Third star of the game with the game-opening goal for the Guelph Storm is Xander Vecchia. The second star, who I thought, and Paul and I had even identified coming into the third period, the strongest Ranger tonight, I would say by far, was Philip Machar. He scored his 16th of the season. He was a force all night, but it's hard to say Machar was the strongest when Matt Sopp saved his very best for last. The game-tying goal with 41 seconds remaining. The game winner on an overtime penalty shot. And Matt Sopp, a deserving first star of this game tonight. So your three stars go Sopp, Machar, and Vecchia. Your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. We are back to wrap right after this. Post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. You're listening to City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here as we wrap things up inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, Paul Fixter, I will be perfectly honest with you, and I didn't get the chance to say it during the second intermission because we were taking care of some business, but you'll just have to take my word for it. I did feel confident coming into the third, down 2-0. Guelph is a good team, but not a frightening team. I believe in this Rangers team based on what we've seen through 45-plus games this season. I was far less comfortable with 2 minutes to go and the Rangers still down by one, but what does a win like this mean to the hockey club, aside from a much nicer trip this weekend?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. It makes the bus travel much easier. They must have been listening to our pregame, Mike, when we said it was a must win, and they found a way to get that win that they desperately needed. What's it do for the hockey club? It just makes everybody breathe easier once again, you know, and feel good about yourselves. You know, you don't want prolonged streaks. Losing streaks, and this one was getting to that point where it was prolonged. And I think when you really look at it, the importance of winning divisional games, like, they're huge. And four pointers are really important, and this was one of those. And Guelph was inching closer, you know, 9 points with two games in hand. So this was a huge win. Now, you know, Guelph still gets a point tonight, but Kitchener gets the two that they really desperately needed to feel good about themselves again. And it sets themselves up for a better game tomorrow. If you lose tonight, you're not feeling good about yourselves at all. Sit on a bus for 4 hours, sleep on that, knowing that you've lost again. No, that's all wiped out now, so they can feel good about themselves.
And you remind yourself, I think, because when you're in a funk like the Rangers were in, you start, doubt starts creeping in, et cetera. You lose confidence. Now you remember, hang on a second, we're still a good hockey club. We can make things happen out there.
Well, and I think you heard Matthew Sopp say that they believe in themselves. They believe that they are a good hockey club. They're just going through a bit of a funk, and they fully expected to come out of this. I give Sopp credit. You know, he gave credit to his mom and dad for nursing him back to health. He put in a pretty good effort tonight for a guy that didn't even practice yesterday. Like, he didn't play Tuesday and was off Wednesday, Thursday, and comes in tonight and deserved of getting the first star.
Our mutual friend, and all-around good community person Karen Coviello was enjoying some time at the Fixter household tonight and was tuned in for The Fix Is In. And I was hoping she would have reason to chirp you later, but you went a perfect 3 for 3. Edward Chalet did not have a multi-point night. You were out on that, and you were right. Braden Bowman did not pick up a power play point for the Guelph Storm. Not a goal or an assist, and the Storm had 3 tries on the power play. And it was a must-win for the Kitchener Rangers, and they delivered a perfect 3 for 3 on the Fix Is In for yeah. City Cabs.
I don't get that very often, so I might brag about that one for the next day. I think the biggest thing from those questions that you had, Mike, was the must win. And so the other side of that is, if they lost, what's it mean? Well, we don't have to discuss that now. But if they did lose, what it means is, boy, you better start winning here, guys. Like, the next game becomes a must win. And tonight they answered that, got that win tonight. And, you know, everybody just can relax and breathe now. And it'd be fun to do the show tonight, Mike, to listen to the feedback, because it was a game where you could be going, oh, here we go again, you know. And no, in the end, they got the goaltending they needed. They got some bodies back in the lineup. And they shortened the bench at times and played the players they felt they needed to play to pull out this win. And it's never easy, a game against Guelph. And tonight, that show, that's what it's going to be like as we go forward here for the next, well, tomorrow's game 50. You know, they're just.
How did that happen?
We're into the fives. Then come the sixes. Then come the playoffs. Like, it's amazing how fast it's going.
It really is. So that's 6 losses now in 8 games for the Guelph Storm. The Kitchener Rangers had won 4 straight games before they lost 5 in a row. I will shamelessly say, I hope this is the start of another run of wins for the Kitchener Rangers. All right, Paul Fixter and I must run out of this building, hop on a bus. We're going to be in Erie by morning. In the meantime, we're going to turn things over to James Sebastian Scott. He is back at the City News studios with our producer, Adam Sanderson, and they are ready to take your calls and go deep into the night on Rangers Talk. So show James how it's done. Let him know that it's worth all the money he pays us to be here late after every home game. Post-game coverage is brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Paul Fixter and I will be back on the air tomorrow night from Erie. James Sebastian Scott takes your calls next on Rangers Talk. This is City News 570.
Welcome to Rangers Talk. James Sebastian Scott filling in for Mike and Paul. We have to go to Erie tonight. And usually when that happens, a quick bus ride down the highway, I get tapped on the shoulder. And I was going to say for about, I don't know, 58 minutes of that game, I thought it was going to be a very depressing Rangers Talk. And I'm glad that it's not. I'm glad that it's not. And leave it up to the Kitchener kid, Matthew Sopp, not to just tie the game up and put it into overtime, but then to draw the penalty to give him a penalty shot in overtime. And I know how Farwell sometimes feels about ending a game with what he likes to call the skills competition or the shootout. But I don't think there's a better way to end an overtime period than with scoring on a penalty shot. And it was a much deserved penalty shot, might I add. But I'll be honest with you. I thought I was going to sit here and have to listen to how this is the Rangers' sixth loss in a row, how they can't beat a Midwest Division rival these days, apparently. And I'm glad that we didn't have to sit through that for the next 62 minutes, because that would have been a very, very bad way to end the night, right? I think so. Adam's smiling because I think he's agreeing with me here. Let's be honest. The Rangers deserved to not win that game. for 50 minutes of that game, the Rangers deserved not to win. And when you play in a league that seemingly is as high scoring as the OHL can be, and you only have three shots in one period, you don't deserve to win a hockey game. But as they say, you play 60 minutes for a reason, and you have to play a full 60 in this case. You had to play about, what was it, almost 62 minutes. And now you're turning that five-game losing streak. That's in the rearview mirror. And now you get on a bus in a little bit of a happier mood to go to Erie and play the Otters tomorrow night. This Guelph Storm team was coming off a 3-0 loss to the Erie Otters in the school day game on Thursday. And that's a 11 o'clock start in Erie to get all the students. I think the Rangers have in years past have played in school day games, not in Kitchener, but in other markets. And you just knew that the Guelph Storm were going to come out. They're going to try and erase a really bad loss to an Erie Otters team that, might I add, works hard, and is well coached by Stan Butler. But they sit at the bottom of the Western Conference and the Midwest Division. So this was supposed to be get-right weekend for the Rangers, playing a team that is behind them in the standings, playing a team that is behind them in the standings tomorrow. This was the night, one of two nights, to get the train back on the tracks, to get that LRT train back on the tracks. We all know this LRT train in Kitchener and Waterloo doesn't always like to run in bad weather, right? But the train that is this five-game losing streak, that's in the rearview mirror, and the boys will be feeling a little bit better about themselves heading to Erie tonight. Now, and I know I got calls on the line, but I just want to say, here's why I think the Rangers won tonight, and I'm going to be a little bit selfish here. I sent my parents to the Rangers game tonight. I got them tickets. I said, hey, here's four tickets. Go have yourself a night at the auditorium. Watch them play Guelph. And I almost felt like the worst son ever for doing that to them tonight. When I saw that it was a 2-0 Guelph Storm lead. But the Rangers made it exciting. They came back. Philip Machar, Matthew Sopp, two guys that you expect to score goals. And they get the win tonight. 3-2 in overtime on that penalty shot. And I can just imagine that the lid on the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium must have just been ripped off when Matthew Sopp scored that overtime winner. And it looked like both teams were playing very, very conservatively and almost as if they wanted it to go to the shootout. And I mean, each of them are getting a point anyways, but it almost seemed like that they were waiting for the shootout to start. They're just sort of, you know, trying to feel each other out a little bit. And I will say, whatever UC Ahokia said between periods of the second and third, after only getting three shots on net, the Rangers came back, had 11 shots, scored two goals in the third, and then come back and win it. 3-2. So that's a game story. Jackson Parsons played a great game. I think he was really solid in net tonight. I think obviously Matt Sopp, you know, after not playing in Tuesday night's game, and him saying post game to Paul Fixer that it's his caretakers that are making them feel better for the game tonight. Whatever Matt Sopp did to get himself better to play in tonight's game, just repeat that in Erie tomorrow. Not too much to ask, is it? Not too much to ask. Okay, we're going to head to the phones on Rangers Talk. We got Cody on the line first. Cody, go ahead.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Cody.
I just want to first say this. The Guelph Storm got sopped tonight.
There you go.
That's a quote from one of the ushers that said to me. But
Cody, just hold on. If you're gonna call into the post game show and say that, at least take credit for it. Don't say that it's the usher that gave that to you.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a rule of radio, man.
Oh yeah, I might as well take the credit.
There you go. How do you know the usher's listening?
But anyways. Well, tonight was a good night for Ranger fans because I thought the game tying goal, the roof was going to blow off. But yeah, like you said, that overtime goal just like popped off the lid off the auditorium.
Yeah, I think probably midway through the second period, we heard some boos from that Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. What a quick turnaround from that, eh?
Oh yeah, it was a great turnaround, and I want to give my respects to Jackson Parsons. He stood tall tonight, stopping all those Guelph shooters.
All right, Cody, thanks for calling into Rangers Talk. Appreciate that. And yeah, both goaltenders played well tonight. It wasn't just Jackson Parsons. I mean, you know, most of the game, the Rangers really couldn't develop anything. They couldn't penetrate the defense at all. And Damian Slavik played well up until that. I mean, that third period, you knew the Rangers were going to come on and turn it on. And they're a team that really knows how to score. But through this losing streak, obviously we've seen that has dried up a little bit. They've had some injuries that they had to deal with. Matt Andonofsky was suspended, so they weren't playing with all of their players in the lineup. But at the same time, and I think if we're being honest with each other, because that's what we like to do here, we like to be transparent with one another, right? I think that at some point this season, the Rangers were going to face some adversity. They did just now in these last six games, or five games, sorry. But this is the time now that you just put that behind you and you start winning some more hockey games. The Rangers can't go to Erie tomorrow night and lay an egg. I mean, they almost did that tonight. Like, they almost did that tonight against Guelph. And Guelph played a really good defensive game tonight. I mean, you held the Kitchener Rangers to only 23 shots. Three shots in the second period. But then, opposite to that, the Rangers held the Storm to four shots in the third period, so They buttoned down and made sure that they took care of business in the third. But the Guelph Storm played really well defensively. They were smothering the forwards. They were making sure they didn't have any time and space with the puck. As we all know, if you give this Rangers team time and or space, it's going to end up in the back of your net. Whether it's Machar, whether it's Sopp, whether it's Rakoff, whether it's any one of the players that can fill the back of the net. If you give them time and space, they are going to make you pay. And up until Sopp scored in that last minute of the third period, it seemed like the Guelph Storm were going to hang on to a 2-1 win. And they found a way. And good teams in any league, doesn't matter what league you play in, find a way. They find a way to win. We're going to go to the phones. gonna go to Evan. Evan.
James, how's it going, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Long time no talk, eh?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I do gotta say, special shout out to Matthew Sopp, considering we are down 2-0. I mean, what else could I ask for, right? Or what else could other Ranger fans ask for? I mean, 7,000, whatever. I mean, shout out to all the fans being out there today.
It was a game where the Rangers had to squeak out a win, and they did just that. 7,000 in attendance, you're right, just over 7,000.
Absolutely. All right, take care.
Thanks, Evan. Appreciate it.
Yep.
I don't know what kind of wind tunnel he was in. Or he must have cell phone reception from the evil telecom, the blue telecom. I'm allowed to say that, right? But, Evan, your phone reception was terrible. Just terrible. That's okay, though. That's okay. Yeah, it really seemed like the Guelph Storm were going to hang on to that 2-1 win. But they were just hanging on. I mean, the Rangers put on some pressure. They made sure they kept attacking, didn't give up. And the one thing about Matt Sopp that I think goes unnoticed a little bit is just, even though he might not be the biggest guy or the strongest guy, as he said in the post game with Paul Fixter, but he's not afraid to mix it up when he's in front of the net. And I mean, yeah, he got a coincidental minor there when he was mixing it up with some of the Guelph Storm players. I think it was Chandler Romeo in front of the net. They both got a penalty after Sopp tried to drive it to the net when it was 2-1 and poked at it a little bit. Okay, stuff like that's going to happen. I still don't know why Matt Sopp got called for a penalty there. I really don't. He barely touched Romeo. And it looks like the refs called him for a slashing penalty, but I don't know who he slashed or what he slashed. But I think Chandler Romeo definitely deserved a roughing penalty there. And then serves that penalty, and then he comes back, wins the game, ties the game, wins the game. So that's it. We got Craig on the line. Craig, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, James? Great to talk to you.
I'm good, Craig. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, long time. I got 2 points. First, this is a team that does somehow overcome adversity quite a bit. You know, if you look back to the first game, even not too long ago, they were down 5-1, come back, win at 6-5. They just got to turn it on a little quicker. Definitely made me nervous tonight.
I think they made a lot of Rangers fans nervous tonight.
The second point is I've got the honor of being the one of the in-game sound technicians, the DJ there. So I've seen a lot of the games, and I really felt like it was like pulling teeth trying to get the fan base behind the game tonight. As soon as they turned it up in the third period, all of a sudden, like, the team showed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's really important that the crowd supports their team that they came out to see.
All right, Craig, thanks for the phone call tonight. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Take care. Yeah, good point, Craig. When you, there's almost like energy boost that you get when the crowd gets into it a little bit. You start feeling, okay, really good about yourself. They probably didn't feel great about themselves when the crowd started booing. I mean, I wouldn't if I was a hockey player. They probably didn't feel really good about themselves when the boo birds came out. But they stuck with it. They got a goal quickly in that third period. 4 minutes into the third period, Philip Machar scored the goal. They could have scored a second goal a little bit sooner with 40 seconds left. But beggars can't be choosers. And when you're on a losing skid and you're on the schneid, you just got to find a way to win and break that losing streak. And the Rangers did tonight. They certainly did tonight, and they're back at it tomorrow. And some of the best things that can happen to you in hockey, win or lose, is getting back on the horse the next night and playing another game. But I will say, to Craig's point too, you have to start on time. Can someone tell the Kitchener Rangers players that the game tomorrow, it starts at 7 o'clock in Erie? I'm putting it out there. You have to play the first two periods before you get to the third. So let's start a little bit more on time tomorrow night, Kitchener Rangers, and not let everyone wait in anticipation for you to come back down 2-0 and win the game. Okay, we're going to head to a break, and then we'll come back with more calls on Rangers Talk. We got some more flowing in, so we'll have some more chances to talk to you right after the break on Rangers Talk. This is City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
All right, we're back on Rangers Talk on City News 570. James Sebastian Scott sitting in the chair. Farwell Fixter on the road with the Rangers. Probably already on the bus. The Rangers run a tight ship around that Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. When they say that they're leaving at a certain time, there is no messing around. You get right on that bus. I'll be honest, the last time I did this post-game show, I called the game with Mike, and he had the jet. Paul was sick, but Mike had the jet to go to probably Erie again. I'm not sure, or Saginaw, one of the two, right to the bus. And I did the post-game show from the auditorium. And how quickly Mike packed up that equipment, the broadcast equipment, because we had a separate setup for me. So we connected a different way, that sort of thing. That's inside baseball, I guess. But Mike packed that equipment up so quickly and hustled to that bus because he knew that the Rangers were sharp on their time. All right, the Rangers, 3-2 overtime winners. I know it sounds funny to say the 3-2 overtime winners when it was one on the penalty shot. It wasn't one in the shootout. We didn't have to go to the skills competition. But Matthew Sopp earned that penalty shot, scored on it, comes away with two goals. And the rest is history, and that five-game losing streak also history. We have Steven on the line. Steven.
Hello, James. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, I guess a bit of a sigh of relief, like other Rangers fans tonight, for sure.
Breathe easy, Steven. Yeah. They've won another game.
No doubt. And hey, like you were saying, it sounds like they're very punctual when it's leaving. Let's hope they're punctual starting the game too, right?
That's right. I mean, they had no business winning this game. Let's just be honest about that. Tomorrow, new page. You turn the page, new start. You have to win in Erie tomorrow night, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to keep your confidence going, right? You don't want to take a step back. But I mean, Parsons, good game, made the saves when he had to. Their goalie was good too, and the shots that they got on him, which there's quite a few they didn't get on them that were, you know, wide, high, but. Yeah, the only concern is we got to get this power play rolling somehow, right? Because, you know, not only just that, you know, you can take the lead, but look, it could have been a whole different game there the first period. Two-man advantage, you score a goal. You know, it could be a different game. And what happens, too, I mean, if the other team doesn't fuel your power play, then they're going to take extra chances, liberties at your players. So, you know, that's something I think we definitely have to get going. But anyway, you know, go Rangers.
Steven, thanks for the call.
Yeah, take care. Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Yeah, it was a really good get-right spot for the Rangers tonight, I think. You had a Guelph Storm team that were coming off a 3-0 loss to the Erie Otters. But at the same time, you knew that the Storm were going to come into this one and try and put pressure on the Rangers, and they did. They did a good job at taking away a lot of the time and space that the Rangers forwards do need to score those goals. Steven talked a lot about special teams going 0-for-5 on the power play. That's not going to get you anywhere. I think Mike said on the broadcast they're 2-for-24 on the 5-game losing streak on the power play, and like 2-for-34 in the last 9 games. So I think that's what the stat was, if I heard that right. And that's not going to win you hockey games. That is not going to win you hockey games. I don't care how good of a hockey team you are. That is not going to win you hockey games. But having said that, you know, after this 5-game losing streak, they ended it tonight against Guelph, 3-2 in overtime. Now it's Erie tomorrow night, then Kingston, Ottawa, Guelph, Mississauga, Sudbury. So it doesn't really get much easier for this Rangers squad. So if this is the get-right weekend that they need to kind of get back into it, I think you take every point that you can possibly get. All right. I guess Uncle Rob can't be banished from the family now that he's called into Rangers Talk, eh?
Hey, JSS, how you doing?
I'm good, Uncle Rob. How are you?
Good, good. So, yeah, obviously a good night tonight. Hats off to my sister, Vivian, Matt's mom, who nursed him back to health. Just as an aside, I want to wish her a happy 60th birthday. I'm sure she'll be happy to hear that one on the airwaves. But, yeah, it was a good night. You know, people are on the power play, and I get that. But if you take a look at it, up until the World Juniors and the Christmas break, they probably had the best power play going.
Yeah.
And the World Junior, like, this is a team that's not deep in veteran players. Like, you know, they're playing the rookies, and the rookies are great, and they got a lot of young players. And if you lose a few of the senior guys, they're going to feel it. And that's what happened. World Juniors, they lost Rakoff and Machar. They had the injury to Mitch. Hopefully Mitch will be coming back soon. And so you lose some of these key guys that are your top six. And that's where you can pinpoint the decline in the penalty, in the power play, I should say. And I watched UC during the second or at the end of the game with the intermission, with the interview. And basically, I think he recognizes that these guys are coming back. They're going to get healthy. The team will get back to how it was before, and they'll be kicking it into high gear. This is a unfortunate slump, but it's a result of that World Junior and the injuries that they've suffered. You know, I'm confident that they'll be able to get it back together and give it a good run. But you can pinpoint that decline in the power play to that period of time for sure. So the elements are all still there. And they're coming back, and I think they're starting to get back together. But even UC said today, even though Machar is back, those guys still have to – there's rust, and they've got to kick that rust off when you've been off the ice for a period of time. Plus a few new guys, you know, like Chalet and Savard. Is it on defense? I'm sorry, I forget the name.
Yeah, Savard on defense, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, they just got to get into it, learn the systems, and I think the team will be in good shape going forward. But, you know, this is the second time now Matt's been fortunate to score the tying goal and grab the overtime winner, and did it in quite the dramatic fashion tonight. But hats off to my sister for nursing him back to health, because he was at the 39-degree temperature the other night. And to his credit, he was in the warm-up with that, trying to see if he could still play the other night. So even though, you know, he says he's not the strongest guy or whatever, he's very resilient. The kid takes a licking, keeps on ticking, and he's like an Iron Man. He's played almost all the games pretty well, except for when he was sick, and doing well. So we're pretty proud of him, but proud of the whole team. This is a team that was expected to be like, what, maybe eighth, seventh, eighth? And here they are now. You know, we're disappointed if they're not in first or have a 5-game losing streak. And that was almost like regular last year. So,
yeah.
So it's good to see.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, Take care, James.
You too. And, yeah, like we, I mean, I know that Matt Sopp got the first star tonight because of his two goals. I think, I think Uncle Rob's sister deserves some credit too, and probably deserves first star as well. Star 1B. How's that for nursing Matt Sopp back to health, getting him right for this game. And like we say in French, la première étoile for Matt Sopp's mom. There you go. That call was from Uncle Rob, and he mentioned some of the woes that we've seen on this power play over the course of those nine games that I mentioned. And yeah, he's right. It is easy to harp on the power play and that they're not doing what they were doing in the first half of the season. And he's also right about some of the players that the Rangers were missing on that power play for, you know, a stretch of time, you know, with some of the players being away at the World Juniors and then some injuries. But this is the point in the season where you want to be in a slump. I mean, you never want to be in a slump, but if you're going to be in a slump, it's not just before you get into the playoffs. It's not at the start of your season. You kind of want it to be in the middle of your season where you go on a little bit of a slump. And, you know, before tonight, the Rangers hadn't won a game since January 14th against the Ottawa 67s. And we are February 2nd. So, not to harp on anything else, but you needed to win this game. And Paul and Mike said it in their pregame show that this felt like a must-win game for the Rangers, knowing that they wanted to end that slump. Obviously, this was the longest losing streak of the whole season for the Rangers. And yeah, Uncle Rob's right. We did not expect the Rangers to be in the position that they're in right now when the season started. This was not their going all in season, right? This was a season that we expected that there might be some regression, that there might be just squeaking into the playoffs and getting into the first round and, you know, that sort of thing. But this is a team that is well coached. This is a team that has relied on their top scorers to be their top scorers and to score all those goals. And general manager Mike McKenzie added at the deadline. Didn't add an exorbitant amount of pieces for the playoff run, but Edward Chalet, that's a good piece to have. Olivier Savard, another good piece to have for your playoff run. And Mitch Martin eventually is going to come back to the squad seemingly at the right time to go into the playoffs. We have to head to another break, and we'll come back with more of your calls on Rangers Talk. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
So, I just want to fact check myself because I was on the fly when I said when the Rangers won, the date the Rangers won their last game. It wasn't January 14th. It was January 17th when they beat this Guelph Storm team 5-1. at the Sleeman Center. So apologies. Their last win was 3 days after what I thought their last win was. And if you look at I just bumped the microphone. That's my fault. If you look at which teams the Rangers lost to in this five-game skid, the London Knights, the Sioux Greyhounds, the Saginaw Spirit, and the London Knights. Last I checked in these standings, London Knights are in first, the Sioux Greyhounds are in second, and the Saginaw Spirit are in third. So, losing the top teams, that also can be expected to happen. We all know what happened in that 10-3 loss at Bud Gardens. 118 worth of penalty minutes. The London Knights felt like that game was like a WWE match. That's fine. The Rangers are back on track now. And they are in a good get-right spot. And they bookend this losing streak by beating the Guelph Storm 5-1 on January 17th and then beating the Guelph Storm tonight 3-2 in overtime. So again, January 17th was the Rangers' last victory before they went on that five-game losing streak. And boy, oh boy, are we glad it's over, right? We have Jeffrey on the line. Jeffrey, go ahead.
How's it going tonight, James?
I'm good. How are you?
Today was a really good day. Yeah, just personal on a personal level and a team level. Really good.
I'm glad to hear that you have more than just the Rangers game to be in a good mood about.
Well, yeah, for a while there, it was one of the only positives in my life, but I'm starting to get things together. Okay, so moving on here, James, so it won't go on too long. Good to have you on, man. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Yes, brother. Starting off, Giracolo, when Craig called in, he's talking about getting the fans engaged and whatnot. That's a little bit of a give and take. Players had to have something for the fans to get amped up about. Now, when you're listening to the game on the radio, sometimes you get the crowd reaction if it's loud enough. When Giracolo laid not one but two hits in the third period, they were two beauties, two clean hits, crunched the guy. Fans went nuts. You could hear it. You could hear it over the announcer Farwell. You could hear it. And that really got things going. That guy's fitting in like you wouldn't believe. 25 minutes a game he's going to be playing very soon. Moving on quickly, Philip Machar, because of his size and his stature, like he's a little bit of a smaller guy, and I noticed he's taken some smacks. When he used to take some smacks last year, he would kind of fade off. Now he's taking smacks. Like, he got crunched in the second period there in the back of the net there against, I don't know if it was Budnick that got him or whatever, but he got crunched and he kept going, relentless forechecking. Ended up getting rewarded for it in the third period with a beautiful goal to get everybody going. He's really starting to find his way. You can tell. He's locked in. If it's okay, can you just quickly, after I hang up, can you just quickly look into why Matthias Stark had to serve that penalty at 15:54 of the second? I no idea what was going on there. But the only thing that I think is wrong with the power play, James, is I find, buddy, when they're there and the five of them are going around the perimeter, yeah, Swick and the odd fella will go to the front of the net and miss that and everything, but it always seems like they're waiting for the 2, 3, 4 perfect passes so that they can rifle at top shelf. That's all fine and dandy, but look at Guelph's second goal tonight. They went in and they drove right to the net. They disturbed Parsons and they relentlessly went at it and rewarded for it. Kitchener didn't wake up in the third period. Guelph would have went down Highway 7 with a pretty convincing victory. So you got to get net front presence, and that never needs to leave. Continuous net front presence. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Appreciate the call. To the point about the penalty at 15:54, in the second period. Too many men. That's why Matheus Stark was serving that penalty. It was a too many men penalty. I believe, if I remember correctly, that was one where UC Hokies was not too happy about with the referees. And to be honest with you, it's not very common to have multiple bench minors being called like the too many men penalty. And there was two of them in this game tonight. And was it a sloppy change? Maybe. Was the referee being a little bit too tight on the call? He could have been. But to that point, what I've noticed in hockey teams lately is when they see that it is just a mess trying to get a line change done at the opposing team's bench, they will throw the puck in that direction to try and get that call. It is no longer just a happenstance. Sometimes it's a strategy. And to me, I think that with that specific too many men penalty, the referee, I think, could have been a little bit lenient on it, or more lenient on it, I guess, because I don't think it was as obvious as a regular too many men penalty that gets called would be. But at the same time, I'm looking at the penalties and I'm looking at how many slashing calls there were for both teams, how many roughings, how many hookings, all the stick infractions, and almost every call was matched up. I know the Rangers had more power plays tonight. They were 0-for-5 and the Storm were 0-for-3. But to me, I think that was more of a call that the refs may have thought would have been a correcting of the call when they called the Guelph Storm for too many men in the first period. That's just me. That's an even call, an even up call. And both coaches were barking at the refs quite a bit tonight. It wasn't just one over the other. It was both. But to Jeffrey's point, he's right. I mean, Philip Machar has matured so much in his time in this league that I think the Montreal Canadiens are hoping, you know, this is his year to do what he's doing, and that next year he can be a difference maker for their organization, either with the Laval Rocket or maybe he makes the Montreal Canadiens right out of training camp next season. But for now, Machar's with the Ontario Hockey League, with the Kitchener Rangers, and Jeffrey's right. He is sticking in it a little bit longer, and he is, you know, not shying away from the play when things get physical or things get rough. Philip Machar scored 17 goals last season for the Kitchener Rangers. He has 16 already in 26 games played. So there is a maturity to his game. There is a difference in how he plays this year compared to last. And he got a taste of pro hockey this year. He got a taste of pro hockey. He went to his second World Juniors. That makes a difference for a player that's developing, that is not the biggest player in the world. But let's not forget, this kid was drafted in the first round of the 2022 draft. He's going to be an impact player at some point on the professional level. And he is showing his maturity in the Ontario Hockey League this season. There's no question about that. And Jeffrey's other point about Max Dhirokolo, he is 17 years old. He stands 6'4", he plays like he's a 19 or 20-year-old in this league already. With his poise, with how he stands players up at the blue line, and the physicality. The physicality. This kid is going to be with the Rangers again next season. And that's that physicality that Diracolo brings, that's what you want to see if you're UC Hokies. Because you have your Hunter Brustoviches who will come out, score some points from the blue line. You have your guys that will contribute offensively on the blue line, that sort of thing. But with what Diracolo can bring to this squad is that physical presence. And he's shown it. He's shown it so far since he's been with the Rangers. And yeah, he's brought to this team at a point where they needed some extra bodies on the back end as they were going through not just the World Juniors, but they had some injuries as well and that sort of thing. So Diracolo slots in. He's played pretty well. Played pretty well as a 17-year-old. We have Brian on the line. Brian, you're on Rangers Talk. Hello, Brian. Brian, if you want to get on Rangers Talk, call back. You know the number. We'll be happy to take your call. I wanted to go to you, see what you had to say. But not there. So if you want to call back, Brian, that's fine. We have to head to another break, and then we'll come back with more of your calls on Rangers Talk on City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
On Rangers Talk on City News 570, James Sebastian Scott in the chair. Mike and Paul on their way to Erie because, you know, it's nothing better than driving to Erie on a Friday night after you win a hockey game, right? I've personally never been to Erie, Pennsylvania. I don't know if I'm really missing that much. Other than great hockey, of course, in the Ontario Hockey League. But it would have been a really quiet bus ride had this team not come back in the fashion that they did. And yeah, I think we're going to have to call the city of Kitchener to repair the roof that was just ripped off the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium tonight. And who better to do it than a Kitchener kid himself and Matthew Sopp? Not just tying the game at 2 with 40 seconds left, drawing a penalty in the overtime period to get a penalty shot, and then send everyone home with a smile on their face and the team off the schneid, off that 5-game losing skid. And on the bus to Erie, knowing that you just beat a Midwest Division rival, you just earned your first 2 points in almost a month, and what better way to do that than scoring a couple goals while you're at it? So Matthew Sopp, first star. As we spoke with Uncle Rob, his sister gets first star 1B because she nursed Matthew Sopp back to health after he missed Tuesday's game because he wasn't feeling well. And then second star, Philip Machar, with the other goal. And I believe the third star was a Guelph Storm. And they blew a two-goal lead, the Guelph Storm did, to lose in overtime 3-2. And the third star was Xander Vecchia with the Guelph Storm. And the Rangers are back in the win column. Jackson Parsons played tremendously well tonight. He was one of the reasons why this Rangers club could come back from a two-goal deficit to win 3-2 in overtime. He made a 10-bell save early on, and then was matched by the Guelph Storm goaltender, too, and Damian Slavik, who made a beautiful save as well. And at that point, he was still in line for a shutout. But then the Rangers came out in the third period. I can't imagine UC Hokies wasn't very happy in between the second and third period. I'm sure he said everything that he told Paul Fixter in his post-game interview, how calm he was when he said it. I'm sure there was some enthusiasm, let's just say, in what he wanted his team to do after only getting three shots on goal in the second period. You're not going to win a game if you only get 11 shots on goal through two periods. You're just not. But credit to the Kitchener Rangers, credit to the coaching staff, credit to the players. They stuck with it, scored quickly in the third to get 2-1. Matt Sopp ties it 2-2. And then, of course, the Kitchener Rangers win it in overtime, 3-2 on that penalty shot from Matthew Sopp. And I'm just looking at this penalty shot goal again from Matt Sopp, and I'm seeing an angle of it at ice level. Credit to public address announcer Dave Schneider, who took the video. And Matt Sopp he grabbed the puck at center ice. He curled off to the right wing. And the reason why players do that is because it gets the goalies moving laterally. And I played goalie when I was in minor hockey and throughout my life. And the one difficult thing as a goaltender that you have to keep an eye on when you're one-on-one with the player is one, where you're at in the net, but also when you're moving laterally, it opens you up. It opens you up. And Matt Sopp takes it wide to open him up, does a little bit of a head fake, and makes the goalie commit before the player does, and then Sopp puts it into the empty net. And that is how it ended. And yeah, it's a little bit of a waiting out game, right? When you're a goaltender, you don't want, ideally, if you're the goaltender, you don't want to make the first move. Because once you make that first move, you're just swimming after that. And some goaltenders, some of the elite goaltenders, even after they're swimming, they can still recover and make a save. But Matt Sopp, credit to him on the move that he made. That head fake, not just curling wide to the right wing, opens up a goaltender. But faking a shot also makes a goalie hesitate. And one thing about a goaltender is that obviously you don't want to make the first move. You want the player to make the first move so you can just stay with them. But when you have so much going on, like Matt Sopp did in that penalty shot, it's really hard for the goaltender to keep with it. It just is. Because there's so much movement that the goalie is trying to do to stay with it. But once you make that move as the goaltender before the player does, you're out of it. You are out of it. And credit to Matt Sopp. He was patient. He faked a move. I'm seeing another video, actually, from Sean Furfaro. And credit to Sean Furfaro, the host of Rogers TV, the Kitchener Rangers Rogers TV. He looked good tonight on the broadcast. He was well-dressed, that Sean Furfaro. But the video that I'm seeing from Sean Furfaro is that as soon as Sopp scores, you see all the sticks that are on the Rangers bench that are on the wheels just moving down the hallway like that quickly. Like, they got to get on the bus, right? They had to get on the bus. So I just think it's a funny visual to see the trainers taking all the sticks away that quickly as soon as the goal was scored. It's like, okay, we're going. We're out of here. We got to pack this stuff up, boys. And the penalty shot goal wasn't a shootout. That penalty shot goal in overtime. Was the game winner for the Kitchener Rangers. 3-2. Everyone goes home happy. The Rangers go to Erie happy. They get a big 2 points. It allows them to feel good about themselves, to end that schneid. And, I'm just going to be guessing here. I have zero insight into this. But I would think that Tristan Malbeuf gets the start tomorrow night in Erie. You just had Jackson Parsons give you a very good performance. And a lot of the times, you want to keep that hot hand going if you can. But I think you have two goaltenders that can play and play well. And I think you likely go with Tristan Malbeuf tomorrow. Because the Rangers have a tough schedule coming up. Let's just pull that up again. They have Erie tomorrow. Then they have Kingston on February 9th. Ottawa on February 10th. And then they have a 3-game homestand that they start after that road trip next weekend. Where they play Guelph, Mississauga, and Sudbury. So, you're on the road for 3, back home for 3, and this is a time for the Rangers to start stacking up some more points, getting back into the standings. They still have a shot at this, at improving their standing right now in the Western Conference. It's not over. It's not by any means the London Knights division at 69 points. The Rangers still have a shot here to get back into it. I don't know if they'll go on a 16-0-0-2 run like the London Knights did, but at the same time, the Kitchener Rangers are capable of stringing some wins together, and we've seen it before. Now that this losing streak is behind us, we've seen it before. All right, I'm done for the night. Thanks to everyone who called on Rangers Talk. Much appreciated. It was great speaking with you. I'm glad we got to do it on better terms than on a 6-game losing streak and a win, an exciting win. And the Rangers look to go for their second win in a row in quite some time, playing the Erie Otters tomorrow night from Erie. You can catch that game right here on City News 570. This was Rangers Talk. I'm James Sebastian Scott. Thanks for listening. This is Sydney News 570.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.